Greetings, and welcome to the Axtel First Quarter 2020 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Adrian De Los Santos, Chief Financial Officer of Axtel. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Melissa, and welcome everyone. Today's conference call will be hosted by Mr. Rolando Subirán, Axtel's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Bernardo García, Executive Director of Strategic Planning and Business Development, and myself, CFO. Axtel financial information, including our first quarter report, is available in our corporate website at axtelcorp.mx. Due to the closing of the data center's strategic agreement in January, and for comparison purposes, we might make reference to pro forma information which will adjust for the effects in revenues, costs, and expenses of these data centers in 2019. A detailed reconciliation is included in the earnings report. Also, let me remind you that information discussed in this call may constitute forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance of the company. These statements reflect management's current views, which are subject to different risks. Therefore, the company disclaims any obligation to update statements discussed in this call based on new information available. Now, let me turn the call over to Rolando Subirán for his initial remarks. Rolando, please.
Thank you, Adrian, and thanks, everyone, for being with us today. Before Adrian reviews our financial results, I would like to share with you relevant information about the impacts and effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and our action plans for our organization, our operations, and strategic projects. This quarter has been unfortunately unimaginable due to the global crisis caused by COVID-19. Since early March, I'm preparing for the imminent impact of the coronavirus in Mexico. We started acting with three top priorities in mind: the safety and well-being of our Axtel employees, the needs and support to our customer base, and the continuity of our business and operations, more critical now than ever. Since the second week of March, we mandated home office for all high-risk employees, restricted international travel, and limited the access to our offices to contractors and external personnel. In the third week of March, we enforced home office across the company, except for colleagues responsible for activities that are unfeasible for remote operations. We also enforce sanitization and contagion prevention measures for employees who are required to attend our office buildings, work in public areas, or at clients' premises. As of today, approximately 85% of Axtel employees are in home office, and the remaining 15% are either conducting responsibilities that cannot be executed remotely, like our holistic operations center engineers, or collaborators deploying services in public areas or at customer premises. We were able to achieve this smooth remote operation transition due to our business continuity plans, our ongoing digitalization initiatives, and timely preparedness to provide secure, efficient, remote access to all our collaborators. Connectivity, network access, cybersecurity perimeters, collaboration services, and cloud solutions, among others, are critical services that our clients rely upon at critical times. During the last 3 to 4 weeks, we have made sure our network, cloud, and managed services operate without disruptions. Since early March, we have responded to over 300 customers that have requested to increase their dedicated internet access capacities to cope with current circumstances. We estimate that this increase in demand alone will generate over 5 million pesos in incremental revenues per month. Together with our technological partners, we are also implementing special offers for collaboration and secure remote access services for clients. Together with the actions to safeguard our employees' well-being and business continuity, we have proactively engaged with our top strategic vendors to negotiate special concessions to reduce the financial impact of the peso devaluation in dollar-denominated orders in process and to redefine conditions for our standard service offers so we can avoid abrupt, immediate price adjustments reflecting current exchange rate conditions. We have been successful finding solutions to these requirements together with our vendors. We are also reducing our CapEx requirements for the year, mostly deferring network investments and adjusting success-based access and IT services investments in line with a slower economic activity. Our CapEx will be limited to $20 to $25 million in maintenance and update of the current IT and network operations to guarantee the quality and reliability of all our services. Secondly, $20 million in the renewal of the spectrum frequencies that we have already paid in February. And thirdly, success-based CapEx with very strict profitability parameters. We are also controlling expenses as much as possible until we have more visibility on the new macro and industry conditions to make a thorough analysis to size the company according to new conditions. Our business has continued operating at all times due to the essential and critical attributes of our services. Fortunately, our business operates under a monthly rent model that very unlikely will suffer a sudden impact in our revenues or cash flow. Nonetheless, if our customers invest less or downsize significantly, our business prospects might become less promising. The peso devaluation affects our balance sheet. However, our ability to reflect new conditions, including exchange rate, inflation, and cost of capital, is embedded in new proposals to clients. Over time, we should reflect new conditions in all contracts. We expect impact from the COVID-19 emergency, like the deferment of payment with customers operating in sectors severely affected, isolated supply chain disruptions, and a potential slowdown in the acquisition pace of new contracts. However, we have a healthy customer base where more than 55% of our customers belong to the group of companies with essential or critical activities and functions that have continued operating during the lockdown period. Based on a rating agency model that divides industries in high, medium, and moderate impact due to COVID effects, our revenues from customers in high impact industries represents only 13% of total revenues, all within our services business unit. We expect to compensate the potential increase in accounts receivables with the negotiations we are having with our key suppliers. This quarter, we are presenting detailed information of our two business units. Our commercial and operating areas are formally working as two units already, with significant collaboration between them. All responsibilities of central or staff areas are now identified as either service or infrastructure activities. Notwithstanding the current contingency and uncertainty in the economy, we are moving forward in the detailed design of our plan to achieve a physical separation of the two business units as soon as we all emerge out of this contingency. We believe this represents the best strategy to maximize the value for the company and shareholders. In the first quarter, we started a competitive process to attract investment proposals and evaluate strategic alternatives for the infrastructure business unit and for the company. Before the COVID-19 crisis exploded in America in early March, we did receive significant interest from strategic and financial investors. Worth mentioning that IPC infrastructure companies have outperformed major indexes in the recent market sell-offs. At this moment, and concurrent with our financial advisors, we have temporarily suspended the competitive process until market conditions are appropriate. Our strategic intent continues in the same line. This pause or recess is a consequence of the high level of uncertainty in the financial markets and the economy due to the virus outbreak. As soon as we and our potential investors have a more clear readout of these parameters, we will resume our competitive process. In February and early March, we hosted our 11th annual Alestra Fest, incorporating Cancun to the cities of Tijuana, Mexico City, Querétaro, Guadalajara, and Monterrey. We have record assistance in the four cities we visited in February and early March, having to postpone the event in Guadalajara and Monterrey due to the coronavirus outbreak. After this unexpected first quarter, our financial performance is in line with our expectations, including a good liquidity position and improved financial conditions after the positive track record of the last 3 years and the resilient and critical nature of our services. The coronavirus has brought a terrible impact to millions of people, communities, and countries. We will continue focusing on the well-being of our employees, our customers, community, and the business continuity of our operations during these critical months. We believe that concentrating, focusing on these objectives at this moment will result in a stronger Axtel at the time the pandemic ceases and economic conditions start to turn around. With that, Adrian will now make some additional remarks and present a summary of the operating and financial results of the quarter. Adrian?
Thank you, Rolando. Very important during these uncertain and volatile times is liquidity. Axtel's minimum cash balance to operate is approximately $12 to $15 million. At the end of the quarter, we reported $91 million in cash, 80% is in dollars, and it does not include the $13 million held in escrow until the end of the year or January next year. Our end-of-quarter cash includes approximately $60 million from the data centers transaction that has not been deployed to reduce debt yet. Additionally, we have $48 million available under the $50 million committed line of credit that we can access anytime. We also have received the confidence and support from relationship banks that have confirmed us the availability of approximately $30 million in non-committed short-term working capital facilities. We feel we have sufficient access to cash to fund our operations and investments during the uncertain upcoming quarters. Now that proceeds from the data center transaction were received, our net leverage ratio including cash net probe is 2.7 times. We will continue working to reach our 2.5 times objective, although the timing of it is now uncertain given the peso devaluation and expected contraction in the economy. Also, let me remind you that we maintain a very favorable maturity profile with an average life of almost 5 years and no relevant maturities until the last quarter of 2024. At our February annual shareholders meeting, a 400 million pesos share buyback program was approved. At the end of the quarter, we maintain a position of 26 million Axtel CPOs under our program. Notwithstanding, our value perception of Axtel has not changed. Even the macroeconomic uncertainty and liquidity constraints in the market, will be cautious on the use of these funds. Finally, and in line with all comments regarding the COVID-19 outbreak and unprecedented uncertainty for the rest of the year, we are withdrawing our revenues, EBITDA, and CAPEX guidance for this year. We don't know how long the COVID pandemic is going to last, nor we know when the economies of Europe, America, and Mexico are going to go back to normality. I will now review our financial results for the quarter. On a comparable basis, total revenues in the first quarter increased 1%. Services business unit comparable revenues increased 1% in the quarter, explained by 1% and 3% increases in enterprise and government segments, respectively. Enterprise segment in 1% increase in revenues in the quarter is explained by a 2% decline in telecom and a 16% increase in IT services revenues. Breaking down telecom service revenues from enterprise customers, voice revenues declined 7% in the quarter, explained by a 40% reduction in fixed mobile and long distance revenues, partially compensated by the one-time revenue recognition of the equipment component under IFRS 16. Data and internet revenues increased 1% in the quarter, explained by a reduction in data links revenues, compensated by a 6% increase in dedicated internet access revenues. Revenues from managed network services declined 6% in the first quarter, mostly explained by a 10% decline in VPN services revenues. Collaboration solutions revenues, which contributed with 7% of enterprise telco revenues in the quarter, increased 18% in this period, driven by strong performance in unified communication services revenues. IT revenues from enterprise customers increased 16%, explained by a 24% increase in cloud and cybersecurity services revenues. Voice-related revenues represented 19% of enterprise revenues in the quarter. Enterprise segment revenues, excluding voice, increased 3% in the quarter. Concerning the government segment, first quarter revenues improved 3%, driven by non-recurrent revenues. Government telecom services revenues declined 20%. Explained by a 43% decline in managed network revenues. 46% of this decline is explained by contracts not yet renewed, and the other 54% is explained by a reclassification of such services to IT. With respect to government IT services, first quarter revenues increased 34% compared to first quarter 2019. A 93% increase in system integration revenues compensated 12% decline in both cloud and cybersecurity services. All system integration revenues growth in the quarter come from non-recurring transactions. Infrastructure business unit recorded 1,168 million pesos in revenues in the first quarter, flat compared to the same quarter in 2019. Excluding revenues booked to the services business unit, Alestra, infrastructure unit revenues totaled 554 million pesos in the first quarter. Revenues from Alestra, or services business unit, increased 2% and third-party revenues declined 1%. With respect to third-party revenues, a 4% decline in wholesale access revenues was compensated by a 25% increase in transport-related revenues. Cost of revenues, excluding depreciation and amortization charges and on a comparable basis, increased 8%, mostly due to the increase in non-recurrent revenues in the quarter, non-recurring revenues, which represented 10% of total revenues in the quarter, generate on average a contribution margin of 10 to 20% compared to 70 to 80% for recurring revenues. Service unit cost of revenues increased 9% as enterprise and government segment costs increased 20 and 9% respectively, explained by the higher non-recurring revenues with lower margin that compensated the decline in recurring revenue. Infrastructure business unit costs declined 39% in the quarter, explained by a reclassification of certain costs. Otherwise, costs would have increased 6 million pesos in the quarter. The effects in revenues and costs explained before resulted in a decline of 200 basis points in Axtel's comparable contribution margin in the first quarter. Operating expenses increased 3% vis-a-vis first quarter 2019, reflecting increases in inflation index contracts like rent, maintenance, and personal compensation, which is included with, which is adjusted with inflation. EBITDA in the quarter totaled 2,974 million pesos, including the extraordinary 2,021 million pesos benefit from the data center transaction. Comparable EBITDA of 954 million pesos declined 7% in line with our original business plan, explained by the contraction in the margin of contribution. Comparable EBITDA for our services and infrastructure business units were 419 and 534 million pesos, a 25% decline and a 14% increase, respectively. In the quarter, services and infrastructure business unit contribution to total EBITDA was 44 and 56%, respectively. CAPEX in the first quarter was 686 million pesos, including 388 million pesos in spectrum frequencies renewals, or $36 million, compared to $20 million in the year earlier quarter. Cash reserves totaled $104 million at the end of the quarter, including $30 million in restricted cash. At the end of the quarter, total debt was $586 million, and the ratio of net debt to EBITDA was 2.7 times, not accumulating the last 12 months EBITDA contribution from the data centers divested in January. Debt related to IFRS 16 represented $18 million at the end of the quarter. With this, we're happy to take your questions now. Melissa, if you could please open the call for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we'll be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we pull for questions. Thank you. Our first question comes from the line of Carlos Legarreta with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. The first question is related to the you mentioned in the press release pressure in the margin of Alestra, both due to higher costs and expenses. I'm just wondering if you can give us more color, Adrian, regarding what is behind that.
Yeah, hi Carlos. Good morning. Yes, we had as we had in our original business plan that first quarter recurring revenues will be affected by price contractions that occurred particularly in the second half of last year. Fortunately, the decline in revenues was compensated with non-recurring revenues in the first quarter, although, as mentioned, these have a lower margin. Under normal circumstances, the recurring revenues will have a trend to increase throughout the year. We hope that will be the case, although as we said, it's too uncertain at this time to have a clear picture. That that was our plan for the year.
I understand. Thanks. So regarding the account payable with Alpha, can you confirm us the outstanding balance? I believe it's in the region of 150 million pesos.
Yes, that's correct. At the end of the first quarter, the balance is 153 million pesos. We are making monthly payments, so by December, the balance will come down to zero.
That's perfect. And finally, could you tell us the interest rate for the undrawn credit facility, please?
Yes. The committed facility has agreed a leverage rate which defines the applicable interest margin. We can access such facility in pesos or dollars as we wish, and the average margin for the facility is about 2%. I mean, it might go below that or higher than that, depending on the actual leverage. At the current leverage ratio of Axtel, it's below 2%, the margin plus either TIIE or LIBOR.
That's perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome, Carlos.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to join the question queue, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Martin Lara with Miranda Global Research. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Adrian. Good morning. Just to make sure, you haven't canceled the strategic options process. You just delayed it, right?
Yes, we have put it on hold. Bernardo might further elaborate on this question, Martin.
Yes, Martin. Hi, this is Bernardo Garcia. We were having a very strong process, and we were at full speed when the COVID contingency came in, and so we had to put it on hold because next phases need traveling, need due diligence, need many other things that currently are not feasible, and also because the market, the financial market, changed a lot with a lot of uncertainty, so we need for things to settle down a little bit before we continue. So we are ready to continue once everything is aligned again.
When do you expect the process to resume? By June the 1st, when all economic activities will start again?
At this time, we don't know. We don't know. What we can tell you is that we are closely monitoring all the indicators of the financial indicators that sends the pulse of the market. Together with our financial advisors, we have weekly reviews on those aspects, and we have we will have a very clear identification of the right moment to resume the process.
Okay. Thank you very much, Adrián and Bernardo.
You're welcome, Martin.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jean Pablo Alba with Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Just a quick, very general question. If you could please elaborate a little bit or some color in terms of what you're seeing from, at this point, what you're seeing from clients, from the market, just an overview of what you're seeing from clients in this current situation and their demand and changes to existing contracts. Thank you.
Hi, Juan Pablo. I'm sorry, your line is not very clear. Let me see if I heard you correct. You want some comments or what are we hearing from clients given current circumstances? What that was your question, or it is something different?
Yes, sir. just understanding some market color in terms of what you're hearing from clients for their current services and for the coming demand of the year.
Let me make some very general comments, Juan Pablo. As you know, there is a lockdown of economic activity in certain sectors of the economy starting April the 1st. Mm-hmm. These are all the industries and businesses related to what is considered non-essential activities. Mm-hmm. We have made a very extensive revision of our customer base, which is has more than 18,000 enterprises. Mm-hmm. Out of those 18,000 enterprises, the revenue generated by non-essential activities is a little bit less than 55%. Or say it in other ways. More than 55% of our revenues are based on customers that are related to essential activities, meaning they continue operating. Let me give you some examples. The hotel and tourism segment is a segment where enterprises operating here, they have stopped operating first of April. Some of our medium-sized companies have stopped operating, mainly those engaged in non-essential retail processes. Fortunately, we have made another comparison of based on the classification of those industries that have been that are exposed with a larger impact due to the pandemic that we are experiencing, and it's 13% of our revenue is related to companies that are going to be impacted by this pandemic. The other 83% are considered to be industries with activities that are going to have minor impacts, and some of them are going to have very positive or going to have no impact at all with the outbreak. So this is in general terms, but we are learning every day, and we are, of course, we are recording impacts and opportunities at this time every day. I mentioned at the beginning of this conference call that we have detected a demand, an extraordinary demand for broadband and internet connectivity for some of our large customers. And of course, we are prepared to support all of these requests in a timely manner. Today, we have more than 350 requests where companies are doubling or adding by three times their capacity of broadband connectivity and internet in order to support their internal operations, mainly home office operations.
That answers your question, Juan Pablo?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Juan Pablo.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our question and answer session. I'll turn the floor back to Mr. De Los Santos for any final comments.
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you, everyone, for attending our call today. As always, we remain available. Our investor relations area and myself to answer any further comments or discuss any further particular matters that you might have. Have a good day.
Thank you. This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.